Anyway, we have the normal weekly events, the life groups, the Awana, and all of those things that are in the bulletin. The prayer group, there is a prayer group starting to support the Hope Dealers Ministry in prayer. That meets Tuesdays at 10 a.m. And so if you have the chance, you know, come in for that. Stacy and Norma are in charge of that. The Hope Dealer donations for the month are hair products, no aerosols, and Operation Christmas Child donations that we're gathering throughout the year are small girls' toys. Easter week services, we will be having Easter week services. There's a little card in your bulletin that tells you what all's going on, what time it's going on and such. So you can be prepared to go wherever. There's a community good service, Good Friday service at noon on Friday. And let's do the memory verse. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for a hope. He'll give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Father, we just thank you for this time we can gather here. We just thank you for each one that has come today. We just pray that you'll be with us, and Lord, that your presence will be felt as we go through this service, and we can, as we worship you, in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here to be able to give the message to you. We will be in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. And we'll be going through verses 1 through 10, so if you all want to just turn there real quick. I'm going to go ahead, even though we just prayed, you know, you can never have too much prayer, so I'm going to pray again real quick, so if you all would just bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for being able to be here to worship you and to learn about you. I pray that you open up our hearts and open up our minds to you and your word, Lord. Just teach us what you want us to hear, Lord. Let us be listeners of your word and just guide us in our everyday lives to seek you and to love you and know that you are our hope, Lord, that you are our salvation. Just be here with us today. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and read the passages here real quick. So if you'll follow along with me again, Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgment, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you, his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it is granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These things are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren whom have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So as Shane kind of mentioned, I just got back from a mission trip in Dallas. And going down, we are in South Dallas. So if any of you know South Dallas, it's kind of a rougher neighborhood down there. I think it wasn't too bad this year. I think the worst part was probably the Dallas traffic. Very scary. But as I'm going and telling people, hey, I'm going on this mission trip to South Dallas, I get questions of, well, why would you be doing that? Why would you be taking your time to go down there to lead a group? Why would you go to a dangerous neighborhood when you can be in the comfort of Wyoming? Why would you risk exposing kids here? Or why would you go to this dangerous place for, you know, in my mind, it's fun to go down there. So they think a little more crazy to that of why would you be doing this? And not till I went up to my college professor as I'm going through some seminary classes. And, you know, I was trying to be a good student and be like, hey, you know, I'm going to miss class, going on a mission trip. Hopefully I don't have to make up the quiz since I'll be on a mission trip. Fortunately, I do. But I go there and I talk to him, and he had a little bit more comforting advice than what I kind of expected. And we're going through the book of John, and we're just talking about Lazarus rising from the dead, or being risen from the dead by Jesus. And he talks about, you know, our God has the power over everything. Our God has power over death. And, you know, it was a half comfort, but also kind of a half, yeah, you know what, you go down to that trip, you could easily, quickly get in a car accident and die on the way there. So, I mean, he was a little bit morbid about it too, and he's like, but that's in God's hand. That is where our hope lies. You know, he brings up what Paul says about to live is Christ, to die is gain. And it kind of hits me in my life a little differently as I'm just kind of like, you know, how often are we fully living for Christ? And a lot of our mindsets, we may be like, oh yeah, you know, I can go to these dangerous places, and if I perish, I perish. It's all fine and dandy. But then that live to Christ part really hit me why I was down in Dallas. So it is in a rough neighborhood, but there is a good church there filled with a lot of people who love that community and want to make a change to that community. Several of those people there, they do not have to be living in the part of Dallas they are living in. They could go up to the much nicer, much safer neighborhoods, but they choose there to stay because they see what God can do. And God has been changing the lives in that community throughout the years that that church has been there doing things. The city has entrusted them to make changes to that community, and God is really working there. And they have that hope that Christ is there and that Christ is working amongst this community. And going down there and getting to see that is great. But here we move forward into the suffering. There is suffering in that community. There is suffering probably in this community here. There is suffering in the community that I live in Casper. And there's probably some suffering in our lives. So again, I'm going to read through chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. After these things, I heard a loud voice of the great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation, glory, and honor, and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who has corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants that were shed by her. And again they said, Alleluia. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. So some of us in our lives, me in particular, you know, we go through struggles. We have pain, we have sorrow, and we have suffering. Right here, we get this hope of there is something that is going to happen. Right now, we're looking at this Sunday. We recognize Palm Sunday. So Jesus was just coming back into Jerusalem, and he was greeted as a king. They were coming through, laying down these palms so he could walk on that. And he was recognized of glory and hallelujah throughout the city. Then just a week, few days later, you know, he's dying on the cross. The heart changed that quickly. The evil was there. Pain, suffering was there for Jesus. For us in our lives, we have this pain, we have sorrow, we have suffering in our communities, in our own lives, and we get that Jesus then there died on that cross. There we have where sin and death were overcome. They were defeated. And, you know, we still look in our lives today and we still see this sin. We still see this evil amongst us. It has been defeated on the cross, but it still exists within us. And here in these verses, we have this hope that one day that will be no more. Just a chapter back in this book, we talk about the fall of Babylon. So Babylon is this representation of evil and the pain and suffering, harlotry, all these evil things, injustice, and it shows that it's still in existence, that we can see this in our daily lives as we're going through. We can see that in our own lives. And here we get this comfort of these passages that it is going to be no more. And even greater praise to that, it is going to be judged. And we get here, her smoke rises forever and ever. So not only is one day in heaven, will there be this no more pain, no more sorrow for the hope that Jesus Christ has given us, but not only that, but the pain that we have suffered, the sin that has possibly had hold on our lives, will suffer the judgment of Jesus Christ. It will burn forever and ever, and we can have hope and happiness in that, and peace, that one day that will all be no more, that we will be free from that, that Jesus has conquered that. And we continue through these verses of, I heard a few amens, and in these verses, that's what heaven will cry out. Heaven will cry out, hallelujah, amen, no more suffering, no more sorrow. Jesus is King and Lord of all. And we get, if you follow along, verse 5, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you, his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thunder, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. This is some of my favorite verses right here, because this is what I look forward to most in heaven. Now, I'm not the greatest of singers. As my mother and sister would put it, I make a joyful noise. And boy, I try to make this joyful noise. Most of us being in Wyoming, I'm sure we have witnessed being near a waterfall. Hopefully, you know, if you guys have been in some traveling, you've been to some bigger waterfalls, like maybe Niagara Falls. I personally haven't, but I've heard other people tell stories of how loud it is. In my personal experiences, some of the loudest things I have witnessed was an avalanche. So I snowmobile and ski all the time, and one time I was in an avalanche. Thankful everybody and I myself are safe, as I'm here before you. But it is loud. It is deafening. You hear the roaring of basically liquid snow just traveling super fast down a mountain, crashing through trees, breaking and shaking them. It is loud. It is powerful. It is moving everything. And then another one of my experiences that I've gotten to witness, for my senior trip, I got to go to a AFC championship game between the Denver Broncos and New England Patriots. The stadium, I think they said there were only 6 people missing, and so there were about 60,000 people there, so more than any city in Wyoming, just all in this collective stadium. And they're all cheering, and they're all shouting, most of them for the Broncos, you know, a few of the Patriot fans there. And it is so loud when a touchdown is scored or victory, and at the end, when the 60,000 people are all cheering and shouting, and, you know, I'm there shouting, and it's so loud, I can't even hear myself yelling. It is just that deafening, and that is what I most look forward to in heaven, is being surrounded by my fellow believers in Christ, my fellow brothers and sisters, and all of us shouting, hallelujah, amen, singing, holy, holy are you, Lord. And it just gives me the chills down my spine of when I think of that thought, when I think of I will be there standing in heaven, praising God forever, and it will be deafening. of just deafening of praise. And I love that. You know, we all have this image of what heaven would be like. And I really like, if you guys have heard By Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine. And truly, that is it. I look and I see, I can't wait to see us all gathered together, but it's going to be far better than what I can imagine. We get all these images of, you know, I've heard people say, oh, when I get to heaven, I hope football's going to be up there. I hope there's going to be all these other things. And, you know, I'm not bashing that or anything because, yeah, there's stuff I hope there's things up there as well. But whatever we imagine falls short to whatever will be up there. And the big purpose and point I also want to make is we're going to be up there praising our Lord and Savior. We're going to be up there building an eternal relationship with God. And another little fact that always just blows my mind every time somebody mentions this to me, of we're looking here at an eternal God, and we're looking at an eternal life with an eternal God. And so, you know, something our minds can't even comprehend, eternity. But God is so much more eternal. We will spend eternity with him and never know everything about him. He is just that great. He is that eternal, that omnipotent, that he is above anything we can comprehend. And that just, I love that thought. And so we get there and we look at this, and all of heaven is crying out because there's been a victory of Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for this hope that we will have this eternity with him forever, that we can grow and know his love and know our purpose. If we take a jump back all the way to the beginning of the Bible, as we can take a look and see, we were created by God for the purpose of loving him, worshiping him, having a relationship with him. And sadly, you know, we break that. Through sin, we break that relationship. And we have, looking back at that victory of coming through, of when we messed up, God quickly said, I'm going to fix this. You guys may have messed up, but I'm going to fix this. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to have that hope in me that we can get back to what I created you for your purpose. And here we have that. We have this victory of we are going to be, as believers, up there in heaven, knowing Christ, walking with Christ, having that relationship with him, getting to know him in a perfect world where sin won't be anymore. It has been judged. It has been cast out. And we all will cry hallelujah to that. Now, we look at this, and so what is our part? Yes, we get to cry out. We get to go there. But there's this invitation here that we get. Back into verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for it is the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship. But he had said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So before I jump into, I'm going to go to the end and then pop back up into the beginning again. So we see here, John has been granted this vision of what a lucky guy. I mean, he has to be in just pure awe of seeing what heaven is going to look like. You know, a lot of times we get, going through the book of Revelation, there's some confusion to it. And it really makes sense because it's written about a guy who went to the future, but then has to go back and write the future, but in a way that the past will understand it. And we are now reading it in the future by a guy in the past who's still talking about our future, but we have to decipher what he meant in the past. And so he's there in heaven, and he gets to see this and witness it, and I'm sure it is indescribable. And he tries his best to write down what he sees, and his first initial reaction, like I'm sure some of us would be when we see things of great magnitude, is he bows before this angel. And this angel quickly says, don't do that. I'm not worth praising. I didn't do anything. I am your fellow servant. Praise God. And I love that too. And I love that moment of not only will it be, you know, us humankind up there praising God, but all of God's creation that is serving him will be up there praising him. And I just love that thought. And so we go back a little bit to this talk about this marriage feast. So some of you may have luckily have been to a wedding, have witnessed a wedding, been in a wedding, it be your wedding. Weddings are spectacular, great moments. And we get here that there is going to be this wedding between Christ and his bride. And so we look at the church being his bride. And, you know, I kind of joke a little bit about we're the bride because, you know, it takes the groom 5 minutes to get ready, but then it takes the bride 5 days to get ready. And so we have a task to be to get ready for this marriage feast. So how do we prepare for this marriage between Christ and this bride? And so that is what we are called to do. If we are believers in Christ, we can look at Matthew and look at the Great Commission of where we are called to go forth and spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. You know, we're supposed to start within our communities, within our families, within those nearest to us. Then we're supposed to move to those around us, our neighbors, our different communities, and then we move forward to the world. We are called to go out and do that because what I look at this is something that Bill Gates once said. He was asked by a reporter, how much more money do you need? And his response to that was, one more dollar. So he was just saying, you know, I can never have enough. There will never be enough. And sadly, if too bad he's looking at monetary gain, where here we look at how many more souls should there be in heaven? And hopefully that answer is one more soul. And so it's a continued of we are called to go forth, spread the gospel, because, you know, I don't know what the numbers are look like, and I can't probably fathom the numbers of people in heaven are going to look like. But for the sake of understanding, you know, a million would sound great of us praising, but, you know, tens of millions would sound even better. So we have this duty to go forth, to spread this hope in Jesus Christ that there is salvation. Look, again, as I've stated, we can see there's hurt. We can see there's pain in this world. So how do we go out and how do we show them that there is hope in Jesus Christ? And that is our mission. That is our field to what is the hope that is inside us? That hope is Jesus. That hope is right here in these passages that everything that has had a hold on us will no longer have a hold on us. The only thing that will be holding us is Jesus Christ. And we look at marriage, and that all that are called will be there. And so verse 9, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. So if you've ever been in a wedding, you know, there are some people who, you know, put it in the newspaper and they're like, hey, yeah, open wedding, come join if you want. A while back ago, there was an article that came out of there were some guys who did just that. They searched newspaper articles and they, you know, were kind of wedding crashers, if you will. Not that they caused any problems, but they were there for the food. So they would just go to get the free food, hang out, and then just leave. They would try to sneak into these weddings. You've heard of people, you know, get a little upset that they didn't get invited to a wedding and show up anyways. And that might be a wedding crasher. Well, you see, here, everybody has been sent out an invitation. Everyone has been sent out an invitation to come to this wedding. They have the opportunity to accept Christ in their heart to come to this wedding. The invitation has been sent out. Jesus is knocking at our heart's door saying, come know me. Sadly, not all are going to respond to that. Some people are going to reject Jesus. Some people are going to reject his salvation and this hope. And it's sad. We still have a duty to do to go forth and spread his hope, to spread his love. And although sometimes we ourselves will be rejected, but they're not rejecting us, but Christ. And here, those invitations are out, all out. And some people will go forth and accept this invitation of salvation. And so here, though, we're looking at the next part of that. We're looking to those who have already accepted this invitation of Christ into their hearts, and they are now coming to this feast. They are coming to this wedding. And here, those outsiders, there are no wedding crashers here. Here, it's going to be those who are ready to be married to Christ, who are ready to be married eternally, to go and live in relationship with Jesus. There won't be these wedding crashers that come in from the outside. There won't be any of this sin, any of this pain or sorrow that we talked about. It's been defeated. It's destroyed. It can't somehow find a way to sneak into this. We will be renewed. We will be whole. We will be there with Jesus Christ, growing in this relationship. And these things are the true sayings of God. And so we get here of this Bible is the Word of God. This Bible is truth. And again, it is stated here by John that what is being witnessed, what is being said is true. There is hope. There is salvation in Jesus Christ. And even better, you know, sometimes we can look in our lives of usually these things that will soon be destroyed. We look for hope in them. We look for release of pain in ways we shouldn't be. We look for hope in things that we shouldn't be looking for hope in. But here, those options won't be there anymore. We will have this full commitment to serving Christ, to loving Christ, and having a relationship with Christ. That is the hope. That is our hope. Jesus Christ, as we will go through next week, the whole reason why he died on the cross was for us to have this hope that we can have an eternal relationship with him, that we can have this eternal truth and continue to know it. And so we get here again, and I fell down at the feet to worship him, but he said, "See, you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who you have testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So again, here at the end, we have this worship God. So John, if you guys may remember, in his younger years, he might have been a little bit of a hot-headed disciple, son of thunder, one of them. And he had this idea of when he was right there next to Jesus of, "Hey, let me be your right-hand man." And Jesus kind of turns to him and says, "Hey, you really don't know what you're asking here. Soon you'll understand." And then we get him, you know, kind of going through Jesus leaving, and he's the one disciple who was there at the cross and then took care of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we get this change in John. And so eventually John goes out to he's exiled to the island of Patmos, and he is doing ministry there in his elder days. And he had disciples coming around asking him, "What do we need to do when the time comes? What do we need to be doing? What should we be doing?" And John's answer, and this is according to church tradition, would always be love. So they'd come and they'd be like, "What do we need to do?" And he'd be, "Love. What do we need to do? Love." And so, you know, after so many times of just being told one word, his disciples were kind of like, "Why? Why is that the only thing you're saying to us?" And according to church tradition, his response is, "That's enough." One, loving God, worshiping God is what we're called to do. And then loving each other is what we're called to do. We're supposed to go forth, love God, and love his creation. And we get here at that end, we have worship God. That's what we will be doing for eternity. So here we are here on earth, what should we be doing to prepare ourselves for eternity? Loving and worshiping God. And so that's what I challenged you guys with today, is I challenge you to look in your hearts and find that there is this hope in Jesus Christ, and that we have the call, the duty to share that hope. And then above all, we are here to worship the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Omnipotent. So I'm going to end here with that. And so I want to ask you guys, in a time of invitation, So if you need to come, kneel here. You can kneel here. If you want to stay where you are, stay where you are. We have been this call to have hope in Jesus Christ because he's the one thing we can have hope in. The one true thing that we look here will never fail us, that we have eternal hope in. So if you are not saved, I pray that God pulls at your heart to say, for you to learn that he is the hope, that he is salvation, that he is the answer to life, to everything. And if you are saved, then I bring this challenge before you of going out and be prepared-minded to spread the hope of Christ, to go forth and to show his love, to be lights to the world. So if you all will just bow with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your love, for your mercies and your grace, Lord. I thank you for your death on the cross, that you love us so much, that you want to have a relationship with us, even though we are hurt and broken, Lord, that no matter what pain we have gone through, no matter what we have done, you love us, that you want to love us and have this relationship with you. Lord, let us to seek our hope in you, and let us find our love in you. And I pray that you give us courage and strength to go out into the world, Lord, and to share your love, to share your hope, and to share what it looks like and what it means to have that hope and salvation in you. Lord, empower us to listen to you, to hear your word, and to be doers of your word, Lord. And in your holy name I pray, amen.